Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show. Co-host Joe with you all here this week, and always a blast to be here with you all. And we are here courtesy of the Main Street Radio Network. The show has been around for 13 years now, almost. Well, not almost. 12. That's right. It started in November of 2013, so this year it would be 13 years old. We are in our 13th year, though, and then November of this year we go into our 14th year. But it hadn't always been the Silk or Joe Show. It's been under other names, too. Just so happens Silk or Joe Show moniker has been with it for almost 5 years. We go into that fifth anniversary next month, so at the end of next month. So Silk or Joe Show, happy to be here with you all. And you can show some gratitude to Main Street Radio Network for keeping us on the air. MainStreetRadioNetwork.com. That's the website. Go visit them. Find out about the Silk or Joe Show. Find podcasts for the program. Find out about the Al and Nathan Show. Find podcasts for them. MainStreetRadioNetwork.com. I do host for the Al and Nathan Show. That's why I would refer you to them as well. And I probably host them more. You'll hear me more often per week on that program than on this one. And you can find them at AlandNathan.com as well, where the late Al Nathan has some articles, op-eds, etc. over there, as well as links to podcasts. Why did I say the late Al Nathan has them there like he's still managing it? That was a stupid turn of phrase. Articles, op-eds, and columns from the late Al Nathan are over there on alnathan.com. That's what I should have said. Anyway, we're on social media too, X at Main Street Radio, X at Al Nathan for when you want to see if I'm hosting or not. Facebook at Main Street Radio Network. I want to thank the Salem Radio Network as well for distributing this show. And as opening segment, I'm going to get into some voter ID because now the SAVE Act is out there. I talked about it a little bit on the Al and Nathan show earlier this week, namely how Senator John Thune, Senate Majority Leader, was saying, indicating it might be dead on arrival if it goes to the Senate. But we'll see how that goes. I guess it has something to do with the way they're trying to get it through with this funding bill. If they just kind of slap it on there, then maybe they can change how many votes are needed to get it passed or something. I don't know. The bureaucracy, Senate procedures stuff. Anyway, but Thune really shouldn't kill it, because if he does, he just killed the midterms for the Republicans, not just because of the voter fraud and all that, but also because he will have killed enthusiasm that the party has for it. Oh, y'all, you approved a spending bill to keep spending, but you didn't do anything to help the rest of us. You didn't get any legislative agenda items done. You didn't secure the border. Oh, you extended the Trump tax cuts. Woohoo, thank you for that. That's not enough to get you back into office. It's what have you done for me lately, right? So, and no one's going to really notice that the Trump tax cuts were extended. You know, that was part of what killed them in 2018, how they had passed the tax cuts, but they wouldn't take effect until later on. So now that they are in effect, we're not going to notice their absence, and Republicans running on that are going to be met with crickets, because, okay, we've had years of these tax cuts already. It's not doing anything for me now. Thanks for renewing them, I guess, but what next? What have you done? What are you going to do? All you've done is sit on your thumbs and kill legislation that we want, like the SAVE Act. And Democrats aren't really fond of the SAVE Act either. They really do not like it. Now, let's have this clip from Chuck Schumer. Going to ask our producer to play it. Where is it at? Clip number 3, if we could. That is Chuck Schumer from C-SPAN, clip number 3. He's the Senate Minority Leader.
The SAVE Act is nothing more than Jim Crow 2.0. If the SAVE Act were to become law, online registration, registration by mail, and registration drives would become a thing of the past. If you're one of tens of millions of Americans who does not have access to your birth certificate, or if you're one of the 50% of Americans who don't have a passport, the SAVE Act could make it impossible for you to participate in elections.
Please, Chuck, stop trying to sell it for me. You already had me. if you can't prove that you're an American, you can't vote. Oh my gosh, what a concept. Literally every other country on the planet does it. Even the countries that have rigged elections still have more voter ID and voter integrity than Democrats want. It's crazy. And he says that's Jim Crow 2.0. We're a little ahead of that, aren't we? All right, let's have clip number 4. This is President Biden in January of 2022. Clip number 4.
Jim Crow 2.0 is about two insidious things: voter suppression and election subversion.
That was 4 years ago. Come on, Chuck Schumer. We're not at 2.0 anymore. We're at, like, at least 3.0, 2.5, 4.0. Come on, man. As Joe Biden would say, come on, man. But what does the American people think of this? And by the way, I have those quotes there about Jim Crow 2.0. That has been their argument against election integrity for years now, as you just heard. But now you have Congressman Jamie Raskin, the Democrat out of Maryland, who was so flippant about starting a civil war because he didn't care. And he actually said that. No, you remember that. It was from 2024. He said House Republicans, if they win the election, House Democrats, if they had Speaker of the House and Trump was elected president, they would refuse to certify his win. And he was very flippant about it starting a civil war and said the House of Representatives, Democrats like him, wouldn't care because, well, they're immune from the effects of the civil war. But the rest of you, you're on your own. He said that. And he's out there saying of the SAVE Act that it violates the 19th Amendment. It affects a woman's right to vote because, I guess, you know, it used to be that that it was just minorities who were too stupid to figure out how to get a voter ID. Yeah, you need a driver's license to get to your job. You need a photo ID of some kind to enter the Democratic. IDs to drink, but you're. And now women are lumped into that category too, which, I mean, I've seen Democrat women, so I can understand how Raskin might have that idea, but really think of this. If we could have clip number one, please. It's CNN's Harry Enten doing some poll numbers.
Look, I got all this polling on the screen going back since 2018. You'll notice on all of it, it's all north of 75%, 76%, 76%, 76%, 81%, and then 83% in the last year of Americans agree with Nicki Minaj. They favor photo ID to be able to vote. Normally, you might expect, hey, there'd be a big divide by party with Republicans really for it and Democrats really against it, but not really here. I mean, just take a look here. Favor photo ID to vote. You got 95% of Republicans, pretty much all of them, but even 71% of Democrats favor photo ID to vote. And what you see is that the American people, actually, it's not really all that controversial. Okay, what's the racial breakdown on this, right? Because I think a lot of people make the argument that people of color, non-white Americans, have a harder time procuring a photo ID to vote. But even here, take a look here, favor photo ID to vote. 85% of white people favor it, 82% of Latino, 76% of black Americans favor it. So the bottom line is this. A photo ID to vote is not controversial in this country. It is not controversial by party, and it is not controversial by race.
Impressive, isn't that? And that was, again, CNN earlier this week, Harry Enten, their data analyst, going over the polls. So the Democrats, though, I guess, you know, they're not too happy about that. They're not too happy about having IDs to vote, photo ID to vote, because they prefer the online voting method. We saw what happened in 2020, all that massive fraud. And if you go in to try and clean up the voter rolls, they don't like that either. They don't like that at all. You can't remove the dead people. You can't remove people illegally registered. No, you can't remove any of that. They need to be there. They need to stay there. According to the Democrat politicians, they've sued to protect their voter rolls and keep them from being cleaned up because they know that they need this fraudulent voting. And that goes into, as well, this whole idea of illegal immigration, because that fuels their illegitimate voting machine. We have millions of illegal immigrants who vote, and we have millions who receive, you know, they say, oh, it's illegal for them to vote, therefore they aren't voting. It's illegal for me to speed, but I'd probably do it anyway. I'm not going to admit to it in case an officer of the law is listening. But millions of Americans speed down the road anyway. It's also illegal for illegal immigrants to be getting all these you know, CDLs or whatever, these driver's licenses for the trucking industry, but, you know, they still end up doing it anyway, and they keep getting shut down, but these truckers just keep coming. There's a lot of stuff that's illegal out there, but it just keeps happening. And Democrats have no problem with that. In fact, a lot of them have it started in the 90s, the motor voter registration thing or whatever, where, like, when you apply for a driver's license, you can also apply to register to vote. And that's how a lot of illegals get in, because Democrats just don't check that paperwork. They say, oh, well, it's illegal for it to happen, but they don't check if it actually happens. You have to enforce the law. That's something Democrats don't like doing. And furthermore, these illegal immigrants, you know, they Democrats love to stack them into their districts as well, because, you know, the census reports them as being there, so they get a huge boost census time because they get extra congressmen for people who aren't actually able to vote, or Americans in any way, shape, or form. Kind of like what Democrats did 200 years ago with the Three-Fifths Compromise, where they wanted slave labor, which illegal immigrants are today. You hear Democrats, one of their arguments right now that they're presenting to keep illegal immigrants here is the cheap labor. And that's it. Cheap labor. Well, that's what they argue for slaves when they gave the Three-Fifths Compromise, which caused slaves to count as three-fifths of a person. And now illegal immigrants, they count as a full person on the census. So Democrats are really benefiting from their cheap labor, aren't they? That just does not seem to have been something that's changed over the several hundred years that that party has existed, has it? And neither has their attitude for non-whites either, because, you know, there's plenty of videos out there of people going around saying, why do you think blacks can't get IDs? And to a man and woman, it's because they're too ignorant. As Harry Enten said in that clip from CNN I pulled, some people think that they just can't get it, or it's too complicated for them to get it. That's a sort of racist elitism attitude. But what do you get for the Democrat Party? More Alan, more Silker Joe after this.
The 2026 Milano Cortina Winter Olympics are just around the corner. For Team USA luge athlete Ashley Farquharson, reaching the pinnacle of her sport is only the beginning. Ashley explains.
I'm thrilled to be able to represent Team USA at the Winter Olympics this year. As Olympians, we dedicate our lives to something that's often a very short-term thing, and retirement comes at a young age. Despite all of the excitement surrounding the games and the hard work and dedication that go into my training, I still have to think about and prepare for life after sport. Thanks to Guild and the Team USA Learning Network, I'm able to take classes at Purdue Global. The partnership allows me to get my education on a schedule that's flexible for me, so no matter where I am in the world competing, I'm also able to earn my business degree and prepare for my future. It's great to have this platform with Purdue Global that's flexible and inexpensive. They've already shown us that they're helping Team USA athletes achieve our goals.
Join Ashley in the pursuit of your education goals at Purdue Global, the preferred online university and degree provider of the Guild and Team USA Learning Network. Get started at purdueglobal.edu.
We actually went out and surveyed hiring managers from all over the country across different industries, and what they overwhelmingly, 84% of them told us, was that high school graduates today lack the necessary skills to be successful in the workplace. So we said, well, what is it? What are they missing? And what they told us is that it's critical thinking, it's problem solving, it's the ability to work together as a team, to communicate, a basic understanding of how business operates, all the way down to personal finance.
Parents should know that the pathway to success is not linear. Many students or parents are grappling with, should my kid go directly to a four-year? Should they go to a two-year institution? Should they go into the military? Should they go directly into the workforce? And there are a lot more choices today that people are navigating. What I would say is ensure that your student is set up with the right knowledge and skills for success. For more information, you can go to uschamber.com or cb.org/career-ready.
Hi, this is pharmacist Ray Solano with an important tip to save you money on your prescriptions. Imagine affordable medication and programs that get rid of the root cause of chronic conditions such as elevated blood sugar, blood pressure, and difficulty remembering your keys or maybe even where your car is. PD Labs Pharmacy is a special compounding pharmacy providing service, solutions, and access to on-site trained telemedicine staff available to answer your questions. Today, many people have discovered personalized prescriptions tailored to you with powerful results such as feeling better. Check out our website, pdlabsrx.com. Our nationwide coverage in 26 years in pharmacy allows us to offer medications at almost half the price of local pharmacies. Switch your pharmacy to PD Labs and experience the real service without the expensive bill. Call us at 888-909-0110. That's 888-909-0110 or pdlabsrx.com. Remember, you have a choice in healthcare.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at pva.org.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. Co-host Joe with you all here today. So, earlier this week, I was on the Alan Nathan Show, because you know, you can hear me there every week now, because we have to pay guest hosts, but they don't have to pay me. So, I get to be the freebie. Woohoo! Anyway, so, the topic I was covering on the show had something to do with Chinese biolabs. There was, I had the guest Adam Finnegan on to talk about it. And in Nevada, they uncovered a Chinese biolab. And people are getting sick from that thing now. You know, I saw a headline this morning about people getting, quote, deathly ill, unquote. I think that was a Breitbart headline that I saw that used the term deathly ill to describe how people were feeling after being exposed to this biolab. And first of all, if you didn't catch the Alan Nathan Show, just to bring you up to speed, it's a biolab not in the, you know, big technical institute sense like the, you know, CDC building in Atlanta, Georgia. It's a biolab in the sense that, like, a meth lab in someone's basement. It's, like, that level. It was in a suburban home, okay? It was in a private residence. It wasn't in any kind of big building that you just screams biolab when you look at it. It was in a building that screamed, hey, that's Ned Flanders' house, when you look at it. So, and this is the second such lab that they had found. They found a biolab over in California, and both are owned under the same group. And the same LLC. So it's rather disturbing to think that those labs are in our communities the way they are. And, you know, currently we're awaiting a guest to talk about some other Chinese mischief here. The FBI, they arrested 55 people, tried to amass a drug ring with the supplier based in China. And sure enough, these Chinese biolabs, well, I mean, I just said Chinese in the name. The guy who runs them is tied to the Chinese Communist Party. Never get the feeling the Chinese don't like you? And now you have Democrats coming out with all these, they want to open up the borders again, and they also gun control measures that they want to institute to limit legal people, citizens from owning firearms, people who want to be law-abiding citizens from owning firearms. Like in the state of Virginia, they're removing the grandfather clause to just outright ban people from owning a certain type of gun. But then we're going to see what happened in the Clinton administration, where the Chinese give the fully automatic, the actual military-style assault weapon version of the gun, to the communities over the border, because the Clinton administration didn't quite account for that. Already we got Chinese biolabs and Chinese fentanyl coming in, and this massive drug ring here that the FBI busted that was tied to China. You don't think that if we open up the border again like the Democrats want, we're not going to be flooded with Chinese-made weapons as well? Come on. But so it just goes to show that the Democrat Party, they more adhere to the principles of wokeness and idiocy as opposed to the principles of clear, solid governance and doing things that, you know, might help the population instead of hinder them on occasion. That's always nice when that happens, right? When the government doesn't get into your way. But, you know, they claim that their actions are pure and innocent. They claim that they have, you know, no kind of agenda about disarming the American people. You know, you'll still be able to own guns. You'll still be able to buy guns. But, like, they're trying to stifle the ability to purchase firearms. And trying to stifle the firearms industry so that, you know, on paper, yes, you can legally own a firearm, but you have to jump through 1,000 hoops to get a permit, and then once you get the permit, there's not anyone left to sell you the damn thing in the first place. So, now, and it will lead to, eventually, this, I guess, a market for these illegal Chinese weapons when they start being shipped into the country once we have open borders again under a new Democrat administration. So joining us now to talk about all this, we have Michael Letts. He is CEO and founder of InvestUSA, a national grassroots nonprofit for providing police with bulletproof vests that has aided agencies internationally. Michael has earned the Congressional Gold Medal Award for Community Service and has over 30 years of experience in law enforcement and is currently chaplain with several agencies as well as the state constable for the state of South Carolina. Michael Letts, appreciate you joining us. How are you today?
Always a privilege to be with you, so we thank you for the opportunity.
Yep, glad to have you. So I was talking about how, you know, we have the FBI. They arrested 55 people tied to a massive drug ring with a supplier based in China. And I was you know, drawing a line comparison between that and, you know, Democrat efforts to have gun control, but then open up the borders. And we saw under the Clinton era assault weapons ban, the Chinese got weapons across the border very easily. And now Democrats kind of want to open the market again for Chinese firearms. And, you know, we're seeing right now this drug ring, with as tight as the Trump administration is on such things, they're still able to get through. Imagine how much worse it's going to be when the Democrats open everything up again.
Well, you're right, Joseph. Here's the most troubling aspect. You know, we just shut down a day or two ago a biolab, Chinese biolab in the United States. What we found was it was horrific, the viruses that were being contained there, and the amount that was found. It could be devastating to the entire region, not just a city, entire region of the country. I realize we're doing our best to make sure that we follow through, you know, remove not just these bio labs, but the labs that are also mixing up the fentanyl now and are trying to re-poison our children with drugs. But here's what we need to make sure of, Joseph, how serious this matter is and just how distorted the Democratic left viewpoint is. They are attempting to do everything they can to show their true colors. They're anti-law enforcement. They don't want us around. Quite frankly, I think the vast majority of the reasoning behind that is because of the nefarious activities they've been in. Look at the headlines. Trillions of dollars of fraud all across the country. They've been stealing from you and I, from taxpayers, for years. They don't want it to become headline news, so they're trying to discredit law enforcement instead. But understand, and this is, I'm glad that you brought it up, Joseph, when you try to go after law enforcement, look what you're going after. You're going after people who are trying to keep fentanyl labs, bio labs, from out of our country and out of and keeping us out of harm's way. You know, a bio lab, those vials get broken, get up in the air, take out a whole region. This is a very serious matter.
Yeah, I guess it must have been heartening to see Democrats on January 6th this year with their back the blue flags practically waving in the air, only for the next day to be, oh, well, back to the usual, we hate all law enforcement of any kind.
Correct.
No matter how safe they keep us. And, you know, they're they're out there trying to keep, you know, illegal immigrants, rapists, murderers in their communities. So maybe they really don't care about biolabs being in their communities as well, because, again, these bioweapons labs, before you came on, I was describing how they were found. They're in residential homes. They're not in, like, a corporate area. They're not in a big, obvious building. They're in your neighbor's house.
That's correct. And, you know, that just makes it all the worse. You're affecting neighborhoods. People need to understand, we're not talking about a biolab that they're producing the common cold, so you feel bad for a gut aching for a few days and you're fine. It's kind of chemical warfare they're producing in these biolabs produce deadly consequences and very painful consequences on top of being deadly. This is a very serious matter, and we better get a handle on it, and we better start making sure that we're backing our first responders, backing our intel, backing the blue, or you won't be feeling well enough to back anything for too much longer.
Yeah, and you think Democrat voters of all people would be all over this because they're the ones who were nutso over the pandemic and wanted all these rules and regulations in place, and then suddenly they have these bio, you know, they're blaming, oh, it's leaked at a Chinese wet market or something. Well, now you have a bio lab in your neighborhood. You think that's any less dangerous? Michael, let's though appreciate if you could possibly stick around for the next segment. And listeners, hope you stick around too, because we got more Silk or Joe Show coming up shortly.
Urinary tract infections are incredibly common. More than 60% of women will experience at least one urinary tract infection in their lifetime, and many have recurrent. I recommend multiple preventative steps in an effort to lower the risk of recurrent infection. Wipe from front to back when using the toilet. Always urinate after sexual activity in an effort to mechanically flush bacteria from the urethra. Hydrate well on a daily basis to flush the urinary system in general, and consider a supplement like Eucora Flush Advanced Plus, a new product with clinical strength whole fruit cranberry, which works to make the bladder more slippery to the common bacteria that cause urinary tract infection. This supplement also contains D-mannose, so the supplement itself works in a dual action way. Please visit Eucora.com to get more information about general urinary health and, of course, to see our product offer.
Hope can begin in the smallest of places. A classroom with one teacher who never gives up. A safe space where a child finally feels seen. A clean cup of water where there was none before. Go Campaign finds the local heroes creating that hope every day. These are grassroots leaders lifting children up with education, safety, healing, and opportunity. Often quiet, often without recognition, but always with extraordinary courage. Go supports their work, strengthens their impact, and helps children imagine a future brighter than their circumstances. When local heroes are empowered, children thrive. And even the smallest support can ignite a lifetime of change. To stand with these heroes and be part of something truly meaningful, visit gocampaign.org. I'm Ewan McGregor, and together we can help make the world brighter for every child.
January is Financial Wellness Month, but many of us are starting the year under pressure. With credit card debt hitting a record $1.23 trillion, the instinct is to pivot into restrictive resolutions to fix the problem. But our new survey shows that traditional goal setting is no longer working. 83% of people let their goals slip last year, and only 45% believe these resolutions actually improve their health. Sustainable progress starts with understanding the emotions and values that drive our money decisions. When we align our finances with our values, we can navigate debt with resilience instead of shame. So instead of asking, what should I cut? Try asking, what matters most to me? When spending reflects your values, change becomes sustainable. By starting with self-awareness instead of self-criticism, consumers can better understand where their financial values come from and establish goals and behaviors that feel supportive rather than restrictive. You can find our full survey and more information at beyondfinance.com.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. Co-host Joe with you all today. And we are still joined by Michael Letts. He is CEO and founder of Invest USA, a national grassroots nonprofit providing police with bulletproof vests that has aided agencies internationally. Michael has earned the Congressional Gold Medal Award for Community Service and has over 30 years of experience in law enforcement, is currently chaplain with several agencies as well as the State Council for the State of South Carolina. And Michael Letts, we were just talking in the last segment, you know, the contrast between the very strict and stringent attitude we had about COVID. You know, you have to wear your mask 6 feet distance or whatever, and then those same people don't seem to bat an eyelash when there are bio labs in their neighborhoods.
You're right, the hypocrisy is so ironic. I mean, it's comical. But, you know, you were talking about what you said, you might be getting some more chasing. I understand now that there are hospitals across the country that are saying we may be having another epidemic, a pandemic, and are now requiring that if you go into their facility, you be wearing a mask. You know, they can't seem to make up their mind. They don't want ICE to wear a mask, but they want everybody else to. It's just, it's amazing their hypocrisy. And here's the key part about it I want to draw your attention to, Joe, is, you know, when we first started with rounding up illegal immigrants, we were criminals. There was the question across the country, and polls showed this. Yes, I support getting rid of the illegal immigrants who are criminals. Those who the only crime they have committed are coming to this country illegally, you know, I have to kind of think that one through. That was the mindset. That was the majority of Americans. The most recent poll yesterday shows that 53% of Americans are now taking the position, I don't care whether you're a criminal or not. If you're here illegally, you get deported. We don't want any of you here anymore. Why is that? Because I think the American people are just getting tired of this nonsense and foolishness and this hypocritical attitude that is just so out of touch with reality. They're just sick of it. And they're saying, you know, if you want to push me to the wall, you're going to start getting a stronger pushback. And that's what I think we're going to start seeing across this country, is I believe that they have pushed too far. And I believe they're fixing to get hit back really hard, Joe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, part of the problem, too, has just been, like, you know, their attitude, oh, you're separating these families. And, you know, first of all the lies that are told about that, like you see, you know, ICE with a child or whatever, and they're saying, oh, they're holding this child hostage to get his parents. Well, it turns out his parents abandoned the child because they were fleeing ICE. And then we're also told that it's a bad thing that that separation happened. But then you think, well, wait a minute. I had too many DUIs and I had to spend a few weeks in jail and I was separated from my family. Why isn't anyone fighting for that? But then Democrats are pretty soft on crime, though, so they might actually be going in that route, too.
Well, it's interesting. What I had just said, I don't think the leftist liberal ideology is realizing what they're doing. They're trying to create sympathy. They want us all to be supportive of their unreasonable and unrealistic expectations. But they don't realize they're so far to the left, so far out of reality, that it's actually people saying, okay, that was funny the first time you said it. Now I'm tired of it. Enough's enough. And they're pushing us into a direction that the liberals don't want to go in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you have these groups like the ICE Watch groups, Defend 612 out there, where we have now leaked documents from them and training materials that show that they have like kind of a Hamas mentality, like use human shields to and civilian casualties in order to make the opposition look bad and then win the propaganda war that way. Meanwhile, the leadership, just like Hamas, the leadership of the group is nowhere to be found. It's all the foot soldiers doing it and suffering the casualties.
No, you're exactly right. And I think this is what you and I are conveying to the American people, is look, for the right, for the conservatives, these people are literally nuts. And because they are nuts, if we don't stand and do something, they're going to trounce all over this country, and we're not going to have a country left upon which to give to our children and to our grandchildren. So you may not enjoy the fight, but you better get in it because you're not going to have any choice.
And that's why I was concerned about President Trump's announcement earlier this week when he was on NBC Nightly News. He was saying how he'll now only come into sanctuary cities when they want him. Well, and when things get really terrible and they come begging, well, things have gotten terrible there, and they do not come begging when things get terrible.
I would agree with you. In fact, we've had discussions after that, Joe, and the president did not communicate clearly what his intent was. He was communicating frustration, you know, kind of like, hey, you don't want us there, you people can just kind of, you made your bed, you can lay in it. But he clearly understands that that's not fair to the majority of people there, because the majority of people don't want that bed to lie in. They're being held hostage by tyranny and by corrupt politicians, and we have no choice but to go in and free them from that tyranny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the modern lynch mobs on the streets, like those anarchist anti-ICE insurgents, you know, they're setting up roadblocks and doing ID checks in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, to make sure that no evil ICE agents or whatever get into their neighborhoods. But I could have sworn that that was, you know, racist and bigoted, at least when you do it for voting or for a real border. But here they are creating a border and checkpoints at their neighborhoods.
Well, see, that just goes to show you, Joe, you obviously you're not, you know, at the same intelligence level that these leftist liberals are. You can't see that there's a huge difference between the two. I think that's so ironic. I mean, as you pointed out, what hypocrisy. And I think the American people, again, as we've said before, we're just tired of it. We want a country that's safe and secure for everyone.
Yeah, we saw plenty of this back in 2020 where they all did much the same thing. It seems like they're just repeating the same playbook. But the big difference here is they were hoping that their activists going and getting themselves shot would somehow translate to a George Floyd moment. Whereas with George Floyd, okay, you know, maybe depending on how you looked at the video, you could see it one way or another. But it's a lot more clear cut when an activist runs over an ICE agent or when an activist picks a fight with ICE agents. You're not going to get that George Floyd moment from those because, I mean, they started it. You know, it's not like with George Floyd where, you know, it looked like police brutality and you have that video that tugged so many heartstrings here. It's just like, okay, this guy's throwing hands with the ICE agents. What else is going to happen?
Well, I think, you know, we've learned. And when that first happened with George Floyd, it was new. It was kind of like, wow, look what's going on. There was no counterbalance to it. Everybody was kind of on the right, caught off guard, not knowing how to react. And it stuck. Now we know what they're up to. We know their strategy. We know their hypocrisy. We know how they manipulate and change things and change facts to help their narrative. And we're not going to let them get away with it anymore. We were naive the first time, but we're not that way again. I can promise you that.
Mm-hmm. And I think putting body cams on ICE agents, I mean, I've seen opposition to that from some on the right, but at the same time, to me, it seems like the sensible thing to do because, you know, I see plenty of memes about it on the internet where, you know, they wanted us to put body cams on police. Now that we have, they're regretting it.
Mm-hmm. No, you're exactly right. I mean, I understand from a law enforcement standpoint the negative that you heard, and there was some merit to it, still is from this standpoint. If you get into a physical altercation, Joseph, that's just more equipment to get in the way, more things to get knocked around, et cetera, et cetera. But you balance that with what it brings in terms of being able to clearly define and see what occurred, the benefit far outweighs the balance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and with technology constantly improving, I mean, I've got a little camera myself in my house that's, you know, about the size of a silver dollar, but like a little bit thicker. So, you know, that doesn't seem like even at that it'd be too much that would get in the way.
Correct. You are correct. Technology is changing so much that nowadays, whereas that was an initial concern, and believe me, I've had one of those body cameras on, and the concern was correct, but technology has kind of moved along so quickly that that concern is almost totally negated now.
Yeah, well, I guess that's actually part of the problem with this defund the police movement because, you know, they want to suck resources away from police departments, but how can they afford the top-of-the-line body cameras that do not interfere in policing if you take their money? Now they're stuck with the ones that are, like, 15 years old and, like, carrying a brick.
And you are correct. And, of course, but you have to understand their strategy. Their strategy is they don't want what's best for law enforcement or what's best to help protect the community. They want what's best for them. And what's best for them, I contend this and will continue to contend this, you know, they are involved in nefarious activities against the American people. They're part of these schemes that defraud, that take things, et cetera, et cetera. They don't want you to know about it. Law enforcement is what gets you to know about it because we're the ones that investigate. So they just assume do away with law enforcement and let America fall into anarchy. Heck, they're part of stealing anyway. What difference does it make to them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and anarchy looks pretty good for when you're running your city and you have to report your crime statistics. So it's a very safe city to live. Look, we have no crimes here. And that, as we were talking last year, all last year, since at least April when the D.C. Occupation started, yeah, that's exactly what the crime statistics are being altered to do.
Exactly. It is just, thank God that we have people who have a mentality of conservatism that can actually see the truth and see the element. The question is, I'm concerned, Joseph, that sometimes we get frustrated and tired, you know, and kind of like, I'm tired of this. Let me move on to something else. We can't afford to exit the battle because we'll lose our future if we do.
Absolutely correct. Well, Michael, let's appreciate you being on the show. We got about 15 seconds left. Where can listeners find out more about InvestUSA?
INVESTUSA.org. God bless you and God bless America.
All right. God bless you. God bless America. And listeners, we got more Silker Joe Show after this break.
The new year is a perfect time to embrace a healthier lifestyle. Dawn Jackson Blattner, a registered dietitian nutritionist, is sharing how you can help champion your nutrition goals this year.
Eggland's Best has teamed up with gold medalist Katie Ledecky to help families fuel their bodies like champions. Whether you're chasing small or big goals in 2026, your body deserves quality nutrition, starting with better eggs. As a dietitian, I love Eggland's Best eggs for their top-tier nutrition. With 6 times more vitamin D, 10 times more vitamin E, and 25% less saturated fat compared to ordinary eggs. They're perfect in recipes like my protein pancake bowls and fitness snack packs. Kick off the year by entering Eggland's Best Champion Sweepstakes. You can enter daily from now to March 10th at evfamilysweeps.com for the chance to win $5,000 and exclusive swag signed by Katie Ledecky.
To learn more and to enter the sweepstakes, visit ebfamilysweeps.com. No purchase necessary.
Foundational health is about supporting the core systems that affect how we feel every day through consistent daily support. Even those who eat well can still fall short on key nutrients due to busy lifestyles and modern diets. That's where the Vitamin Shop, the leading destination for lifelong wellness solutions, comes in. For men, I recommend the Garden of Life Organics Men's Once Daily Multivitamin, which provides essential nutrients like vitamin D3, selenium, and B12, and the V-Thrive, the Vitamin Shop Bioactive Men's Multivitamin, which is a great high-potency formula. For women, I recommend the Garden of Life Women's Doctor-Formulated Probiotics, and magnesium is another key nutrient. The Garden of Life Magnesium Gummies are an easy option, as well as the Pure Encapsulations Magnesium Glycinate. You can find all of these products at the Vitamin Shop and thevitaminshop.com.
The Medicare annual enrollment period runs each year from October 15th through December 7th, and it's an important time of year for the millions of Americans who already enjoy Medicare coverage. It's their chance to compare plan options for 2026. We know that Medicare coverage can be confusing. One thing I recommend to help navigate through the process is really focus on two things: cost and coverage. For cost, you want to consider things like the plan's premium, deductibles, copay or coinsurance. And for coverage, you should look not only at the medical coverage, things like hospital and doctor visits, but also prescription drug coverage and any extra benefits. The annual enrollment period runs from October 15th through December 7th. It's a great time to compare those cost and coverage of the plans available. Lots of options to consider for your Medicare choices in 2026. To help you navigate, I would recommend starting with a visit to MedicareEducation.com.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of 3 boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk.
with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all gotta help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're gonna be saving our lives. To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. Co-host Joe here with you all. Thanks for sticking with us through this side of the program. So we started to talk about immigration in the last segment. I figured I'd do a monologue or something going to that effect on there. So under the Obama administration, like 56 people were killed by ICE, and you know, the Democrats didn't bat an eyelash. Families were separated. Democrats didn't bat an eyelash. Children were put in cages. Democrats didn't bat an eyelash. In fact, the pictures of kids in cages that popped up under the Trump administration were from the Obama administration. But Democrats didn't care. They're, again, Obama is scandal-free. I mean, I'm sure in the next 10 years or so, we're going to have Democrats suddenly turn on Obama. After all, he's the one who, in his Grammy-winning book, that is audiobook adaptation, that he himself was awarded a Grammy for reading. He stated that illegal immigration causes issues with wages and social safety nets and all that. And yet, when we point out that that is exactly what's happening, racist. You're a racist for it. You bigot. You don't want these immigrants to have jobs. So yeah, well, what about the income gap that y'all are talking about? What about income inequality that you're all talking about? It's partly propelled by this cheap labor that's being imported. In fact, the mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Frey, ardent Democrat, he's out there complaining that the economy of the city has been ruined because of all these immigrants are in fear. It's like, well, the economy of the city was set up based on cheap labor. And as I was talking about in the opening segment, Democrats do love their cheap labor, don't they? But anyway, so Jay Johnson, he was Homeland Security Secretary under Obama, and I think he's a pretty moderate Democrat. I think he's a pretty solid example of what a moderate Democrat looks like, at least as far as border issues go, because most of the time when I hear him, he's saying things I like. Once in a while he doesn't, but whatever. Most of the time over the last few years, he's come out pretty good. And one thing he did right now was go on MS Now, formerly MSNBC. They had to rename because NBC wanted nothing to do with that toxic brand anymore. So he was on there talking about how the governor of Virginia, this moderate governor of Virginia, mind you, eliminated cooperation with federal law enforcement. And the other states have, these are called 287 agreements, which Jay Johnson said, quote, in general, a good idea for reasons of public safety and law enforcement. If you want to get at the worst of the worst, you're going to find the worst of the worst in our jails. Local law enforcement will encounter the worst of the worst undocumented. And so there need to be partnerships between federal and local law enforcements to go after these people. And the governor of Virginia just eliminated that. The moderate governor said, you know what? We want the worst of the worst to stay right here. We want them to be released. In fact, there was a case in point right as she's doing that where there's an illegal immigrant in his early 20s who strangled his 8-month-old sister, strangled her to death, going to prison for it, and no one's going to bother to tell ICE when he's released. Not going to cooperate with you. ICE would have to continually monitor, look for early releases, spend a lot of manpower. Now, keep in mind, there are thousands of such people, tens of thousands of such people in our jails across the country. You think ICE has enough time to look at all of them? Even if they tried to look at just the murderers, who, like this man, they'd still be pretty underwhelmed. They still don't have enough manpower for such a thing. And yet they're expected to do that. And then also now there's all this talk. Democrats say, oh, ICE, unlike all other law enforcement agencies, ICE can't arrest anyone unless they have a warrant. Well, that's going to be a bit problematic given how few judges there are that would be willing to give a warrant, how long it takes to get a warrant in the first place. Democrats clearly don't want immigration enforcement to happen. And that's hardly surprising because it's, as we were talking in the last segment, all this fraud that's bringing in millions of dollars to the Democrat Party and to members of the Democrat Party goes away. And all these fraudulent votes, too. You know, there were, 4 million? No, it was about 4 million illegal immigrants who've been receiving welfare. And we spent $2 billion on it. I think it was Social Security, actually, that they were receiving. We spent $2 billion on that. And you know darn well that some of that's coming back to Democrats. And some of these people are voting because, you know, you're eligible to vote? Yeah, here's a Social Security card or whatever. Or here's the identification that I needed to get into the Social Security system so I can go and vote. And I've talked before about the Heartland Institute and their polls that show that illegal immigrants voted in 2020 and were going to vote again in 2024. Millions of them out there doing that. Amazing. No wonder Democrats are against this sort of thing, against voter ID, against deportations. That's their base right there. They give them free stuff. In exchange, they get free stuff, and they get free votes. And even if they don't vote again, like I was talking about in the opening segment, they still get something out of the community, illegal immigrants just being stacked up in their communities. It's just really a big mess. So when you have this moderate governor of Virginia come in, you got to wonder which direction Virginia is going to be taken, especially when another bit of legislation that's coming through. You know, this was just an executive action undoing Glenn Youngkin's executive action, but there's now legislation that makes fraud much easier in the state of Virginia. What are they doing that for? Why would you do that unless you plan to do fraud? And then there's also plans for voter fraud, which the SAVE Act would save us from. But Virginia is talking about online registration and all that, where, what, you don't need to show anything. We kind of do have online voter registration, so what are they doing with that anyway? Oh, online voting, that's what it was. It was online voting that they're doing. Remember that. It's online voting. You don't have to show up at the polls. You just sit at your computer, log in, and vote. Like you're watching flipping American Idol or some crap. So that's what they think that of our elections, that you just sit at home and vote. And trust us, it's secure. Really, trust us, because it's illegal to do a recount. They're making it illegal to do hand recounts. So just trust them that the election was secure. Yeah, sure, a couple of million more people voted. We had 130% of the electorate vote. We have elections that would make Saddam Hussein cry voter fraud. You know, the guy who definitely had some fraud going on in his elections. You know, Venezuela would be saying, wait, guys, you have a voter fraud problem. And, you know, even Chuck Schumer, by the way, agrees that Venezuela had fraudulent elections. He said so on the Senate floor the other day. So even Venezuela, with their fraudulent elections, would be looking at the state of Virginia's planning to do with this online voting and say, after one of those elections, and say, yeah, you guys have a fraud problem. At least try to hide it like we do, right? Don't be so brazen with it. And what are you? What kind of state are you? What kind of Democrat are you? What kind of democracy are you in favor of if you think fraud is the only way to do things? And what does that say about your party? You know, anytime you talk about, oh, mass appeal of the American people, well, I played for you the clips of the poll numbers that show Democrats don't really have mass appeal when it comes to voter ID. And I've talked about the polls before that show that on immigration, they don't have mass appeal. So their idea of democracy is just rampant voter fraud. We can't win legitimately, we'll win by cheating, and that's democracy. And we're not fascists when we do it. It's only when the other side wins legitimately that they're fascists. And Democrat voters believe it because, their IQ is somewhere in the, I don't know if we invented numbers low enough to measure that yet. But anyway, thanks for tuning into this edition of the Silk or Joe Show. Our website is MainStreetRadioNetwork.com. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-978-0600 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.